Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. It's a bonus episode today. This bonus episode is in partnership with Microsoft Education, and you'll hear from Joe and Kristen Merrill, who you might know as the Merrills. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things ed tech on my blog, classtechtips.com. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder, you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it will take you to all of the resources I mention. This episode is sponsored by Microsoft Education, and I'm so excited to partner with them this fall. Have you seen the new Reading Progress tool in Microsoft Teams? It's totally free and will transform the way you think about reading fluency. I was completely blown away when I saw Reading Progress in action, and I know you will be too. Just go to aka.ms/readingprogresspp. to find out more about the free Reading Progress tool in Microsoft Teams. You can also send me a DM on Instagram, and I'll make sure to get you the link. This week's podcast episode is titled Creating an Interactive Classroom with Microsoft Education. I'm so excited to have Joe and Kristen Merrill, who you might know as the Merrills. I've known them for a while, and it was a lot of fun to chat with them today and learn more about all of the things happening in their classroom. The last time we had a chance to chat face-to-face was at the FETC conference in Miami in January 2020. So it was wonderful to have a chance to catch up over Zoom and hear about everything happening in their classroom. Let's dive into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you both here today to talk about all things around creating an interactive classroom with Microsoft Education. And before we jump into all of that, would love for you both to take a moment to introduce yourselves and just share a little bit about your roles in education and what your day-to-day looks like.
All right. Well, I guess I'll go first. I am currently a fourth grade teacher. I teach primarily English language arts, so which would be like your reading and your writing, some social studies and science integrated into it. I've been in that position for quite some time now, so I kind of call myself the dinosaur. Definitely don't want to move, don't want to change, die in this position, I guess. The complete opposite of Joe. I do not find my calling with the littles. I like the older age and kind of seeing kids grow into the skills and things they learn fundamentally in the primary ages. But unlike you, I can't do the little ones.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it doesn't get any better than hanging out with a bunch of six-year-olds all day.
Or does it? So, does it?
So I teach first grade, and this year is a little bit different of a situation for us. I'm going to co-teach this year, so I actually have a co-teacher that I work with. We have a group of 30 kids in the classroom. And so it's been really, really fun and exciting getting back into the classroom, getting into some of those routines, and just using some of the same techniques that we used last year into this school year, now that things are, you know, quote, back normal. But it's just been really great to, you know, make that adjustment and get back into what seems familiar, I guess, probably is the better way to put it.
I appreciate you both sharing just some of that journey and being in different spaces and being in some of the same spaces, right? Working with students in different age groups. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, how has technology integration changed over your teaching career, kind of from that day one all the way to now? I would imagine there's big jumps, right? I sometimes make the overhead projector joke about starting my teaching career, but I'm curious for you both, how has technology integration changed?
Yeah, well, Kristen's way older than I am.
So. Oh my gosh, stop it. That's a joke he likes to say. That is totally not true. You sit on my throne of lies. When you said that, I instantly thought, though, of technology when I first started. It was completely just for, you know, dealing with learning disabilities. The very first technology integration that I ever dealt with was for children who had
needed help with something, whether it was formulating sentences or learning words or vocabulary, it was not at all anything that the general classroom population used. So for me, the biggest change is now going from just learning how it can be more adaptive to how it can be just more supportive and integrated for everyone and how that looks for everyone. So students that do need it for specific, you know, maybe they have a challenge with something, or just a child who's interested in it, right? There's a place and a space for both of those.
I think it's a really interesting point, you know, because I can vividly remember the two apps that I started using first. And I'm not embarrassed to say that I still use them today, Epic and ClassKick. And I mean, those have been around forever. And what's really neat about that is they've made these adjustments along the way to help out with things like accessibility. And so I think what we've seen is that, you know, many, many years back when Kristen started teaching, the focus was really on using technology for accessibility purposes. And now what we're seeing is more of a level playing field where we use it for all students because all students can benefit from it.
Yeah, for that creation, right? Yeah. It's not just there to adapt something for someone. It's there for students to demonstrate their knowledge.
And I'm sure, you know, even as you both are sharing just that kind of the journey or the noticings or things that you found change over your teaching career so far, you know, I'm sure that's something that resonates a lot with listeners who might have come across one specific tool or one specific app, and maybe it stayed kind of in their tool belt this whole time, or maybe they found something new to bring into that work. And, you know, speaking of things that are kind of newer or are enhancing things that we might have always done in the past or used with technology in the past. This summer, I shared a lot of updates to Microsoft Teams and some exciting kind of EdTech updates from Microsoft Education on the blog and on the podcast, including a conversation with our friend Mike around reading progress. And I'm hoping, you know, can you remind listeners a little bit about what reading progress is and share a little bit about what it looks like in your work, in your classrooms?
Well, you mind me starting?
Go right ahead. He has a very special place in his heart for reading progress as a primary teacher.
So I think most primary teachers can relate to, you know, the whole, okay, here's my learning, my literacy center. Here's my guided reading group. Here, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to do a running record. And what Microsoft has done is they've taken all those things into consideration. And basically what they've tried to accomplish is providing more time for the teacher. And in doing so, they've created this platform where a student can log on to Microsoft Teams, and through their assignments, they log on, and there is a reading task that is assigned to them. The student reads through that reading task. You can tell them, but what they probably don't know is that they're being video recorded. And so as they record that, then it monitors what they're saying, what they're reading, if there's any omissions, if there's any errors, so on and so forth, and it automatically grades it for you. So as a teacher, you get that back and you can look at it and you can see what's been marked correct, what's been marked incorrect. You can always go back and edit it if it maybe didn't hear things right. You know, I had some trouble with that with masks on when the kids are speaking, where sometimes it doesn't come out as clear if you're 6 years old anyway. So that's a little bit of a challenge at times, but you can adjust that. There's so many amazing features with this. And it's been a total time saver more than anything, because what it does is it just allows you to dedicate even more time to differentiate the content for your students at the literacy centers or at your guided reading table. Mm-hmm. You're not spending that one-on-one time. So it's been really, really powerful.
He just went to town.
And it doesn't even stop there, because I mean, you can use it for sight words too, but that's...
Oh my goodness, that's a whole nother thing. I think you hit on something important though. Obviously, you know, we love the phrase that you coined, you know, the task before the app, right? So there's nothing different with Microsoft Reading Progress. When you start using technology, you always want to think of what's the purpose. And so time saving, right? This app is something that I'm not saying that it's an important thing to do to listen to your kids read, but they don't need you for that, right? Like if you can be able to listen to it another time, so it saves you time. But then also what I like being not a primary teacher and being a more intermediate is that when the kids get to fourth and fifth grade, even in middle school, you have a wide range of readers. And so the way that you need to interact with kids is different depending on where they're at in their reading journey. And so with an app like this, it allows you to maybe give certain texts to different kids or to kind of differentiate or to guide what you want the kids to do based on what they want. It's not like a program that's like, you have to read this text and this week and there's this many passages or this much time. Everything is able to be molded. So I can just assign it to one kid. Maybe I only have one kid in my class I need to listen to, or I have all of them, or what I want them to. Everything is changeable, which I really like.
Yeah, it's also really powerful in the sense where it provides a ton of insights. And so you can get a whole, I mean, obviously you could do that if you're doing a one-on-one, you know, running record, but it calculates it all for you. Things like fluency, all that stuff is all calculated in there. One of the things that I really enjoy too is that going back and actually doing like a little mini conference with my students and saying, hey, look, this is what I've been noticing. You're reading this level and here's where some of the struggles are. And so it even picks out some of the key words that maybe your students are having issues with. There's just so many amazing things about it.
No, I mean, I'm right there with you, with both of you when it comes to this piece. And I taught fifth grade for several years where running records were a really big part of the time, right? Allocated at different parts of the year. And so, you know, when I first saw, when got, you know, a look at what reading progress looked like, I got very emotional, right? Looking at it. Like that was my, like, just deep reaction to think about how many times, you know, I had pulled someone over, I tried my best to listen to them and mark things down and, you know, make it a safe space for them to read and share while other things were happening in the classroom, mm-hmm. you know, let alone just the logistical, you know, nightmare for a better, you know, for lack of a better term, of trying to get all the piles of papers and the wide range of readers in my classroom together. So, and I just love, and I'm sure, you know, you all are way deeper in the Flipgrid world than I am, right? Almost like that Flipgrid feeling of like, I'm on camera, but it's friendly and kind of all of those pieces. So I appreciate, you know, you sharing those perspectives and kind of building upon that, you know, being in that team space. I know, you know, I've worked with teachers starting all the way in kindergarten who use Teams with their students. And I'm curious, you know, there's of course that reading progress integration component, but what does Microsoft Teams look like in your classrooms?
I love Teams because it does give you so many different functions. And I like that you don't have to use all of them. So you can kind of use what works for you. And we both, and Joe and I both use Teams very differently. I love being able to pull it all together, sort of like an LMS, being able to put my Flipgrid or my tabs or things I want to highlight. I like the ability to send out assignments and have things in all different formats to different mm-hmm. kids, different due dates. I love being able to see them in real time. So like an app like Classkick, you could do that, but I can do it in Microsoft as well, where I have other features and things. You like the channels. You're more into the channels and the organization of it.
Yeah, I like the differentiation possibilities with it, because what we do is we have our reading groups set up as different channels. So you'd have like, you know, your group one as a channel, group two as a channel, and those are all set to private. So only the kids that are in that group can mm-hmm. see what's in that group. What makes it really cool in first grade is that nobody really knows that group one is doing something different than group mm-hmm. five or six yeah. or seven. And so it's just this really powerful way to deliver the content in a way that you can differentiate efficiently. And it makes it really easy too. I mean, it's just a couple of clicks and it's a really efficient way to kind of keep everything housed in one place.
And there's a lot of those other Microsoft tools like Immersive Reader or things that are embedded into mm-hmm. some of those programs that you can then take advantage of. And there's so many different apps now that embed right into Teams or Teams embed. Like those cross-platform integrations are really great too, because they may know them from using them in a different class, or you may introduce them throughout the year. I don't know. We do have an LMS, and there's nothing against using an LMS too, but there is just something about Teams that just seems a little simpler, a little more kid-friendly, and a little bit more organized, in my opinion.
Yeah. And there's always, you know, you don't have to use like all these different embeds and all these different
things to make these out of Teams.
I mean, we've even used it for simple things like conversation, like number talks in the general team, you know, like mm-hmm. just dropping in what number you think, what equation you think equals a number. It's simple stuff like that. And so, you know, you don't have to get really technical with it for it to be efficient, but it's just the mm-hmm. simplicity of it all.
Yeah. And I really appreciate what you said about the organization piece, the logistics, right? The workflow, because all of those things are so important, because it's what makes things happen, right? It makes right. really helps make that differentiation happen. It helps put all these pieces into practice. And even, you know, when you're talking about the different channels and students kind of knowing where to go, and it doesn't matter where someone else is, right? You're probably all coming back together to have a discussion on kind of the same thing anyway, right? So just that idea of being able to quickly give kids the just right experiences, you know, over the course of the day. I think that's just really a game changer. And, you know, speaking of game changers, there's been a lot of updates to Teams this year too. I know I covered a bunch on my blog earlier this summer including, you know, Reflect with the SEL connections and some of the whiteboard pieces. And I'm sure Reading Progress would be on the list of ones that's, you know, high for you all in terms of things that have been a game changer. But have there been any specific updates that have really grabbed your attention or changed things up in your classrooms?
Well, I think, I mean, this isn't a new update. This is just one that's been around for a while, but we've been able to add those like Wakelet collections, for example.
Nice.
And that's been really powerful because, you know, let's just say, for example, that you are differentiating out your content and you've got one group that wants to learn about Shark. We're actually getting them to do this now. And you want to differentiate that content out for certain kids in that group. You can easily do that with a Wakelet collection. And so it's been really powerful adding those different tabs across the top. Trying to think what else.
I've been using a lot of some of the older ones. Like at the beginning of the year, I don't go too far in deep. I teach them really, really simple. I mean, we just started using Teams. I think we're in our 6 week of school, maybe 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we start with like a scavenger hunt where we just learn all the different places and kind of do something in each one and have fun. And then slowly throughout the year, I'm going to do the Reflect soon. I've gotten them now back into Flipgrid in there, but I tend to use it really simply and just try to teach them, this is an assignment. This is where the turn-in button is. Like, you know, the things that people, I think sometimes think our students don't have problems with, but they do. They're like everyone else's kids, you know? And then as the year goes on, then start finding those really fun ways to integrate the other things in or learn some of those new features.
And Reflect is great. You already mentioned it, but that's a really simple and easy app to build that SEL piece into the mix. And we definitely have used that one. That's so simple and easy to launch and throw out.
And again, customizable. You can like customize it for your unique setting. You don't have to just use it a specific way.
But definitely, I think Reading Progress would probably take the case.
It's like little favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, when you see kind of the big list of, you know, dozens of updates over the course of the summer, right? I'm sure for some people, right, there's that one that changes everything for them. And then there's these other pieces that might paint a little bit of a broader brush or, you know, just kind of reach a lot of different groups. And I love that idea of a scavenger hunt to get kids familiar with a space like that. Can you explain a little bit more with what that entails?
Sure. I just make a fun little graphic or like a checklist with them. And it says things like, find a comment, you know, leave a comment in the feed, you know, and so they have to learn how to leave a comment. And then the next thing it might say is, you know, like a friend's comment, like show them some love by giving them a like or a heart. And so they do that. Mm-hmm. And then another one might be, what else do I want to do? Okay. So in Teams, they love to like leave the gifts and like the images and those kinds of things. And I don't. So it's a great time, you know, to let them go on and play with that safe search and have fun. So that might be one of them. And then I usually think about the main places in Teams that I'm going to be or use. And then that's where I want to send them. So I sent them to the tabs on the top, and I had a Flipgrid topic and something fun. I never put anything on our team scavenger hunt that's going to be like academic. I wanted to just be fun, like learn how to use it, you know, low cognitive load. So I think it was something like, if I could change my name, what would I change it to? Or something silly.
Yeah.
So they go in, and then I sent them to files because I wanted to teach them that in Teams, files is the collaborative space. So if I usually put like a PowerPoint and you kind of scoot through it or leave your comment on the slide, something that teaches them one, that there's different files, and two, in a different kind of way, like either a Word document or a PowerPoint, that there's something else besides just like a PDF. And then I always send them to assignments. So this round for the scavenger hunt, I sent them to assignments and we did Reading Progress, and I taught them how to use Reading Progress, how to, you know, use their microphones and those types of things. And it's just fun. It's just a scavenger hunt. You got to go through all the different ways, and it's the day that, you know, you're going to be like a million questions, but it's just a fun way to like introduce something that they haven't seen before.
I really like what you said about the low cognitive load for this type of activity, right? It's not about the academic piece or the content piece yet, right? That might come down the line, but just to get them familiar in this space, ready to ask questions. I think that's such a great way to introduce it to them if they haven't been in there before, or it's been a very different school year or the start of a school year, right? There's plenty of reasons why that, you know, can be a
good fit. And often I think sometimes teachers start a new app or something with like a lesson in mind. And then it's really hard for the kids to learn the app or the program on top of the content. And then they get really frustrated. And then teacher's like, I can't use it. It's not for me. And it may have just been the way they designed the use of it, not the fact that they can't use it.
Absolutely. Just that idea of being very thoughtful with the first go of it, right? It's hard to just like, if you're, you know, baking a cake and you put in too much of something, it's really hard to get that one ingredient out, right? Kind of have to start fresh. And so I think the same thing goes when introducing some of these tools, if it becomes very overwhelming, right? We lose the strategy piece of it because we're just all kind of caught up in all the buttons with this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we talk about these different spaces, you know, I wanted to ask a little bit about your books and your strategies around interactive class. And last year I had Dr. Natasha Rachel on the podcast to chat about the book you co-authored with a few folks, the Microsoft Infuse Classroom, and you both have the interactive class book and a Flipgrid version too. So can you tell us a little bit about these books and what it means to truly create an interactive classroom?
Well, first of all, Natasha is the best.
I'm honored to be on a cover with her.
Right. Yeah. It was awesome getting to work with her. What does an interactive class look like to you?
To me, interactive means there's a relationship between you and your students. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they get to pick everything you learn or, you know, the order even that you learn it in, but that you take into account their learning styles, their interests, and you reflect that into the way you teach them. And that there's that responsive method going on, that back and forth, that interaction between you and your students. And while you're doing that, then you get your buy-in, you get your engagement, you get that level of trust. And when all of those things come together, it creates this really cool learning environment.
Right. And you also include your families at home and your colleagues with that too. And so by, you know, kind of molding this perfect circle, so to speak, of communication, collaboration, and all those good things, you know, you're really building this modern classroom feeling where the kids feel like they're the ones creating and they're the ones who are, you know, really taking ownership of their learning. And so that's really the whole idea, is, you know, trying to make sure that our kids are creating over consuming the content. We're really big with that. That's kind of like our thing. Yeah. And, but, you know, it goes much deeper than that, because we have to include our families at home, and we want to make sure that we're also collaborating with our fellow educators, because that's really where all the good ideas come from. Let's be honest.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing a little bit about, you know, your books and all of those pieces and just your philosophy around the interactive class and making sure that everyone is involved and heard and creating and doing all these wonderful things as, you know, really partners in the learning. And before we officially finish up today, and I'll make sure to put links for listeners to find your books and all of that, but I follow you guys on TikTok. I know that you are in lots of different places, right? Where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
This is my favorite spot.
This is his favorite line. It's like the corniest dad joke line of ever.
So go,
it's dad joke level, 100%.
Okay. So you can find us anywhere at the Merrill's EDU, two R's and two L's, because
there are two of us. So here at the Merrill's EDU.com, on our website, you'll find all sorts of our blog. We are on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And yes, we are on TikTok, but there's not very much dancing. That's not our, Mr. Merrill's not a fan of TikTok. All at the Merrill's EDU. We'd love to connect with anyone on whatever platform they like to be on the most. And feel free to message us or reach out at any time on any of them, because that's really why we do it. We do it to stay connected and to be inspired.
Well, thank you both so much for your time today. Really appreciate all of the gems, inspiration that you shared with listeners. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you. So much.
Thank you so much for having us and getting to see you.
It was so much fun chatting with the Merrills today. Kristen and Joe are a wealth of information and inspiration, and I hope you'll follow along with them and learn more about their work. Let's finish up today's episode with some tips for making this EdTech easy. First, look for ways to differentiate instruction. Next, use tools like Reading Progress in Learning Stations. Then, design interactive learning experiences for student creators. And finally, let students explore new spaces with a scavenger hunt. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode on classtechtips.com/podcast, including all of the ways to connect with the Merrills and Microsoft Education. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Microsoft Education. I'm so excited to partner with them to bring you this new episode of the podcast. Don't forget to check out their Reading Progress tool in Microsoft Teams. It's a powerful fluency app that can help students practice reading skills and give you actionable formative assessment data too. Learn more at aka.ms/readingprogresspp. You should also see the link in the description to today's episode. If you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech in their podcast app. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for this week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.